previously on We Live Here.
Obviously, I mean, I really think if there's any bias in having a belief that people should have very basic safety and housing, I'm willing to own that.
Hey everyone, it's me, Camille.
And me, Tim. And on today's show, we're talking about moving.
Like moving day.
Exactly. Moving from one house or apartment to another.
Mm-hmm. And I've moved around a bit, and I know you've moved around a bit, Tim.
Yes, I have.
And it can be fun to, you know, get to a different place, design a new space, but it can also be hella stressful. Am I right?
Yeah, especially if the reason you're moving isn't because you want to, but because you feel like you have to. For safety reasons.
Which is exactly the situation for this woman.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Cummings. I am 34 years old and I am a mother of two.
Two daughters, in fact. And they were a big reason why, in spring 2017, Jennifer was so motivated to find a new home.
You know, I was afraid to let my children go outside and play, and I think my home was burglarized like 5 times within the matter of 4 years I was there.
Jennifer lived in Jennings, northeast of the city of St. Louis. And before y'all start peppering us with complaints, no, we are not generalizing that the entire city of Jennings is unsafe.
Jennifer says she did live in an unsafe spot, though.
It wasn't my first choice. There was a house, and I actually worked with, she was, I guess, a realtor, and she showed me different properties, like 4 vouchers, and really it was just the best one out of the houses that she showed me. And she showed me some houses, and I'm thinking to myself, you guys rent this out, like, they were really horrible, like, really. But some looked like they were abandoned for years and things, and that was just like the best out of the what I had to choose from. So it's horrible that that's the way I explain it, but that's the way it was.
That's the way it was because Jennifer, like millions of Americans, has to factor her Section 8 voucher into her housing search.
I've actually had my voucher, I guess, maybe about 8 years now.
To be clear, having a voucher has helped this mom navigate rising housing costs and stagnant wages. It even allowed Jennifer to quit one of 2 jobs and return to school.
But it also came with some other unwelcome hurdles.
I don't know if it's because it's like, because it's a housing voucher, a lot of landlords won't rent to you, or if it's like certain areas. I don't know. I just felt like sometimes having a voucher comes with like a stigma. Like, it's like, well, you're on Section 8, so you don't deserve, you know, better homes or, you know, nicer neighborhoods.
This is probably the point where some people hearing this might get defensive.
Or want to say, of course no one is saying people with vouchers don't deserve quality.
And it's worth keeping in mind that the voucher program, created in 1974, was designed to open up opportunities locked away in America's private housing market.
But when you actually map it out, this is not what happened. There's not a lot of mobility.
And there's plenty of segregation.
Plenty of segregation, yes. Though. And dare we say, resource hogging. So there's a data point we want you to keep in mind when you listen today.
According to Ascend STL, a local nonprofit that works on social services and affordable housing issues, only 7% of St. Louis families with vouchers are living in what are considered middle-class, high-opportunity areas.
Jennifer's family is now one of them, thanks in part to a nearly secret program here in St. Louis.
You never heard of a program like this. And so I was very skeptical about, you know, the things that they could actually do. And I just, I guess I was, my attitude was like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it type of attitude, you know.
On today's episode, we introduce you to a largely unknown 2-person team that's been quietly working to reprogram equity into one of America's most segregated housing systems.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum.
If you listen to some of our past episodes, then you should have a good handle on the state of public housing assistance in this country.
Millions of people rely on some sort of help from the federal government to secure housing, whether they're in hot real estate markets like San Francisco or post-industrial boom towns like St. Louis.
For about 2 million people, this is in the form of literally living in homes and apartments owned by the government. Think of this as the old model.
Yet, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, more than 5 million people use housing choice or Section 8 vouchers.
We're not exaggerating when we say that the demand for these vouchers is astronomical. Thousands of people are on waiting lists all across the country. When you get one, it can kind of be like winning the lottery.
But again, these golden tickets don't seem as shiny when they can't actually get people where they want to live.
And so when Jennifer, the mom of two you just met, started making plans to move from Jennings, she had to mentally prepare herself for what really isn't a straightforward housing search.
Really, before, you would only hear about people with who were accepting vouchers like through friends or word of mouth. And then sometimes you can get in the newspaper and just, actually it was kind of like a process of elimination. You would see something in the newspaper or a magazine and, you know, you would like it. And there wasn't any fine writing or anything, so you just call them, well, hey, do you accept vouchers? No, we don't. And you go on to the next one, so that's kind of how it was.
Then, in spring 2017, folks at the local housing authority, which requires voucher holders to do annual check-ins, told Jennifer she could get help in her search. It was through something called the Brand New Mobility Connection Program.
And it was specifically trying to move people to better resourced areas in the St. Louis region. Jennifer was pretty skeptical.
This is everything that I know, like, about having a voucher. Like, I didn't hear of people with housing vouchers moving to Chesterfield or moving to Creve Coeur. It just, you don't hear about those things. So I was skeptical. Yeah.
It will come as a surprise to no one listening that those areas Jennifer just mentioned are further from the city of St. Louis with whiter and wealthier populations. Jennifer, though, decided to give it a try anyway.
Which is how she met Janie Oliphant, the program director for Mobility Connection, which operates under Ascend STL.
Well, Janie, she made everything fairly comfortable and easy. Really, only thing I had to do was fill out my application and pay my deposit. She did all of the legwork, her and her team.
Janie acted as kind of an apartment concierge. She and her colleague made a list of Jennifer's needs: better schools, safer neighborhood, and a place closer to her job. They figured out where Jennifer could afford to go with her voucher. Then they searched for homes, called some landlords. Essentially, they were the go-between.
They even came with me to actually view the apartment. I left from work. I left on my lunch break, and it's like 13 minutes away from where my job was. So I'm like, oh my God, this is, you know, such a great thing. I hope that the apartment, you know, I hope I like it, you know. The school district is great. I wouldn't have to worry about sending my daughter outside to catch the school bus, and, you know, like, I know things happen everywhere, but it just gave me a peace of mind. All new appliances, just granite countertops, things I had never seen or experienced with the other apartments or homes that I lived in with vouchers and things like that. It's 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom. My kids were very excited to have their own bathroom. I'm very excited to have my own bathroom. Just a washer and dryer inside my home that, you know, just the little things that some people may take, you know, for granted, you know. Just had all appliances that matched, you know, they weren't outdated. It's just the little things. I mean, the walls are beige. I mean, you can't really you can't really paint a picture of just, I guess the picture I would paint is that I didn't have to, it was just peaceful. I didn't have to worry about the things that I had to worry about in the previous neighborhoods. As far as my children going outside to play or to take the trash out or hearing gunshots, it was more, it's more over just a peace that I felt. It necessarily didn't have anything to do with the looks, even though that those were pluses, but it's just the way that I felt. It was just a peace.
So if this sounds rather simple, that's because it should sound pretty simple. The idea of mobility connection is simple. The difference, Janie says, is the intentionality.
And typically, like around the country, housing authorities just aren't very involved in people's housing search. So you get, like, they don't want to be involved in that part. And that's part of the reason why the housing voucher program historically has been supported both by conservatives and progressives, because it's a rental subsidy program, but it's on the private rental market.
But remember that data point we told you about at the top of the show. Only a tiny portion of voucher holders with this system in place end up in middle-class neighborhoods in St. Louis.
So our program was created to try and help families find housing in what we call high-opportunity areas. And those are neighborhoods where 10% or less families live in poverty and 10% or less of the units are subsidized.
And this can be exacerbated in a place like St. Louis, which has struggled to shake its economic and racial segregation patterns.
So when you look at the data from a metropolitan perspective, about 30% of rental housing is in neighborhoods where 10% or less of families live in poverty. And then you'd have to cut that multiple times for like affordable rental housing, and then you cut it again for landlords that are actually willing to participate in the housing voucher program.
And that last part is key, because again, all this is voluntary. This is the private market, which means many landlords just opt out.
And with the exception of the city of St. Louis, which has legal protections for voucher holders, landlords can refuse to rent to someone just because they have a voucher. And it would be totally tone deaf to ignore the racial overtones in this pattern, given that 95% of voucher holders in the St. Louis region are Black. It took about 4 months for Mobility Connection to get Jennifer into her apartment, which happens to be in one of those places she thought was unattainable, Chesterfield.
And she's one of the lucky ones. Janie says for every success, there have been a lot of closed doors.
And so, like, while so many people might want to move into those areas, the doors are just automatically shut because they can't find any landlords that will take the voucher. So we give families at least 2 referrals, 2 properties in high opportunity areas where they can tour the unit and put in an application.
Their work isn't glamorous.
Yeah, so my name's Peter Grine.
Peter is the other half of the Mobility Connection team. Mostly, this means he's on the internet all day looking for apartments.
And on his phone, which he had to answer quite a few times when we went to visit.
Alicia's
calling. Do you mind if I take this one?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Peter.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Alicia. How are you?
I'm all right. So, I have to counsel for tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, no. Okay.
They don't want me to continue to get, you know, and then they don't work. So you don't want
them
to be any
more What's the requirements that he's feeling that the people aren't meeting?
Rental history, credit, and income.
Is there...
My husband submitted one over to where her income was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, well, I will let my client know. That's a little unfortunate, but I appreciate you giving me a call.
No problem.
Okay, thanks so much, Alicia.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Have a good afternoon.
What happened there?
It just happened.
I'd scheduled an appointment for tomorrow morning for a client, and the leasing agent, I guess, just talked to the owner, and I guess he decided that he's not interested in working with people who have housing choice vouchers. When she had told me that they would take vouchers at this property, so now I have to quickly text the person and tell them that that appointment has been canceled.
A few minutes later, Peter gets another call. This one from a woman looking for a new place because the complex she lived in was sold to a company that decided it didn't want Section 8 tenants.
She and a handful of other people looked to a mobility connection to help them find new houses. Peter and Janie say they try to remain hopeful, but they're pretty realistic about what they're up against.
Like, I think we've probably convinced maybe like 5 new landlords who'd never worked with the voucher program before to try and take vouchers. It's just, it's a really tough road.
A tough road that isn't getting any easier.
We'll hear why just after a quick break. Janie says there aren't that many programs like Mobility Connection.
The programs that do exist that have been scaled are in Baltimore, Chicago, and Dallas, and they're all the results of litigation. So Housing Authority got sued because they moved too many families into segregated communities.
In this instance, St. Louis's approach is different. Officials here were motivated by two things.
The first, Janie says, was research by Harvard economist Raj Chetty, which showed that when you move a low-income family to a middle-income area, they do better. In particular, children do better.
And the other motivating factor was the killing of Michael Brown in 2014.
And there was a moment, right, for us to say, what can we do? Like, what can HUD do? What can the housing community do as a positive response to this?
And so, Mobility Connection has been quietly going about its work since spring 2017.
Right now, we've moved about 30 families to high opportunity areas, and we've worked with, we've enrolled just over 100 in the past 14 months that we've been operating.
But again, there's a huge supply and demand issue. A lot of interest from voucher holders, not as much interest from landlords in this area.
So we've got a wait list of over 400 people that we're starting to work through right now in our second year. But even not everybody in our program makes it into high opportunity area because you're putting in applications on the private rental market and we don't get to control that market. So about 40% of families that go through our program do end up moving into high opportunity areas, but it's still like, there's just so many barriers that keep people out of those neighborhoods that you always expect something to go wrong.
This is why for Peter and Janie, the pitch becomes really, really important.
I like to gauge on the phone, like what's their response when I mention housing choice voucher programs? Especially, like, a lot of people also don't know that that's like the official name now. So once they're like, oh, I don't know what that is, then you have to go into, you know, you might have heard of Section 8. And then sometimes they're like, you know, grumble, 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 whatever. But anyway, kind of getting like their sense of if the person comes across as really, really cold, I mean, there have been a couple of times when I've managed to like get people to reconsider, but they tend to be, I would say, pretty like set in their ways.
How many landlords have you guys reached out to since you've been in?
So we don't have that information like right in front of us, but
a couple hundred.
So we've reached out to definitely more than 400, I would say.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, we just did the report.
We just did the biannual report.
In 6 months, it was like 350.
Janie says the current plan is to maintain relationships with landlords and apartment complexes already willing to accept voucher holders.
And slowly chip away at the resistance of others. But personal attitudes may not even be the biggest block to this program in the long run.
Because, Janie says, while the pushback from landlords might never go away, the money could.
Actually, it was a pretty big bummer. When I was hired in October 2016, there was money in President Obama's budget for programs like ours, and we all thought that money was going to be there like the next year as well, and then the election happened and all of our dreams were crushed.
Mobility Connection is the result of a collaboration between both the city and county housing authorities and Ascend STL. But the initial pot of money used to fund it has already run out.
So the housing authorities are continuing to support us for another year because they support this program, because they understand that it's a good idea and that we're doing good work. But they're basically using additional money that they've set aside, in case the federal budget changes drastically and they need to cover their staff so they can't keep covering us, basically.
At this point, there's enough money for the program to last until June of 2019. Janie says ideally, a larger funder would step in before then and provide a more sustainable revenue stream.
So far, that hasn't happened locally.
But because of this research saying that if you move families with young kids, they do better long term, philanthropy is starting to get interested in these types of programs.
In the meantime, Janie and Peter haven't stopped planning for the future. They have a lot of ideas on how the program could get better and bigger.
Right now, for instance, Mobility Connection will pay for a second apartment application fee if families get denied the first time around.
But Janie says even more helpful would be a pot of money for things like security deposits and moving costs.
And providing financial incentives for landlords to participate in the program, perhaps in the form of a signing bonus. In the meantime, the work doesn't stop.
Every month, about 6 to 8 families are added to their caseload.
When we started the program, we didn't know how successful we would be, and we didn't know how hard of a time we might have with placing families in high opportunity areas. And we were concerned about backlash in receiving communities, so we didn't really talk to anybody about what we were doing. We thought about doing like community workshops or just like having community events to say, hey, we're doing this to see if we could garner support in those communities. And somebody said to us, you know, people don't need permission to move into these areas. And for some reason that kind of clicked for me and I was like, okay, you're right, we don't need permission. People can move wherever they want to move.
Next time on We Live Here,
anybody who drives down Manchester today or comes across from Barnes Hospital on Newstead or Taylor couldn't imagine what it was like then.
And I just liked what it was becoming before it became a great popular place now.
All of these wonderful new apartment buildings and nobody can afford to live in them. I couldn't live here because I couldn't afford it.
We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
Alana Sistrunk is our associate producer.
And Robert Peterson is our boss. He is the program director here at St. Louis Public Radio.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.